more recently, there's been a common topic that keeps popping up in, like, when we get messages in through social media, whether it's DMs or comments and stuff like that.
Yeah.
And, you know, weightiness of wheels is always a common thing. But then it begs, you know, one of the other questions that comes along with it is load rating and forged wheels. Like, does it matter?
Yeah. I mean, I guess, you know, the problem I think with forged wheels is that they have, kind of this reputation that precedes themselves, right? People think that they're the elusive top of the line. You can't get any better. And because of that, they're bulletproof, impenetrable. They can take anything you could throw at it. And there is no kind of common constraints that some of the other wheels are known for, right? But, like, that's not true.
They are metal, not magic.
Oh, using my own line. I like it. So... Yeah, I mean, that's the case. I mean, you know, load rating has everything to do with any wheel of any construction. I think the best way people should look at a forged wheel is that it's basically like a delay, right? A forged wheel is essentially like a way to resist fatigue for a longer period of time. So, you know, the more dense the material gets, the stronger the material is. And that's why a forged wheel can be so light. It's not because a forged material is lighter. In fact, it's quite the opposite. It's a more dense material. And because it's a more dense material, you know, once it's compressed and forged, the material is actually heavier. Right. So because it's heavier... if you were to carve a design out, let's say, and left the same material that you have, let's say, with a flow form wheel, the wheel would be heavier comparatively to the flow formed wheel. However, the advantage of having such a dense material that's strong and has an increased tensile strength is that you can remove the amount of aluminum necessary to be able to make a certain load rating. So now let's circle back to that load rating comment. The idea is that you are getting a wheel that's properly load rated for your vehicle always. And I don't even think there's a problem with looking for a wheel that's maybe even a little bit heavier if it has a little bit more of a load rating. I think that's totally good to do. I think people, you know, look, I've dealt with cars forever. And, like, there's plenty of times that, you know, you go to, you know, build an engine or whatever, and you want to build that engine to be able to take more. Like, if you're going to make 600 horsepower, you don't want to build an engine that's good for 600 horsepower, right? You want to build one that's good for 800 horsepower. So you have this buffer room. And I think that that's what people should think about when they're looking for, you know, forged wheels. That's the advantage.
Well, it's that density is what provides the added strength, right? Meaning, yeah. As you mentioned, the tighter grain structure of the material, you know, you're not going to get that from, say, a cast wheel because it hasn't gone through the pressure in order to build the density and improve the overall strength of the wheel.
Right, which is why a cast wheel requires more material to make a load rating, right? So I think, you know, load rating really is one of the only numbers that a wheel has to be able to compare it from a static weight holding perspective, like on an apples to apples chart, right? You know, when people say, like, you know, and I struggle with this. People say, well, you know, a forged wheel is stronger. It's like, well, no, it is, the material is stronger, right? But the wheel itself has a lot of factors and things like what it's load rated or built to, and how it's being put through its paces and what its longevity is kind of the total piece behind a forged wheel. So, you know, my suggestion when people pick forged wheels is, you know, don't get too obsessed about the weight. Make sure that you're obviously picking something that gives you some benefits on weight comparatively to what load rating you need, but make sure the wheel's properly load rated. And then once it's properly load rated and you're choosing that wheel, understand that the thing, like you said before, it is metal. It's not magic. It's not bulletproof. It's a stronger construction. And on a forged wheel, because there's a more dense material and it has a higher tensile strength, you also have a much higher resistance to fatigue, right? So how much a wheel can, you know, kind of bend over and over again from taking, you know, abuse of potholes, different flex from, you know, cornering or weight shifts or anything like that. That all really has a lot to do with how that material kind of elongates and how it's elastic and how it kind of moves into place. We all know that the more times you flex metal, it eventually will work harden and eventually fatigue to the point where you could reach a catastrophic breaking point. That's metal, period.
Well, yeah. I mean, how many times have you taken like a thin piece of aluminum and just kind of go back and forth, back and forth, and eventually it starts to splinter and fall apart. And then all of a sudden you've got two pieces of aluminum now as opposed to one piece of aluminum.
Yeah. I like when you start doing it, it starts to get hot a little bit and you're like, oh, what's happening here? Well, it's breaking.
So, in my earlier days, I worked in the cycling industry, right? Yep. And so frame materials always played a part in what the rider was doing. And I would envision that characteristic carries over into the wheel side of things too. Like, for example, like with, carbon fiber, for example, you can design cycles of movement into the carbon that you're not going to get out of aluminum or steel.
Yeah.
But then a steel wheel can provide a much more supple ride. If you wanted a more direct ride, lesser cost, go get aluminum, right? Yeah. And so what we're trying to get to here is placating to the strengths of the material for the intended purpose.
Yeah. I think that when it comes down to forged wheels or it comes down to flow form wheels or it comes down to cast wheels, and people have heard me say this. Now, with this said, we have flow formed wheels, we have cast wheels, we have forged wheels. So it's not that I'm picking a side based off of what we sell, right? I'm telling people, I always say, go for your functionality and use first, and then you can really fine tune some of the other things. And if you really pay attention to, I'm going to go on a track, I'm going to use this thing over and over and over and over again, and I have the budget, a forged wheel may be a fantastic option. Now, I have a little bit less budget, but I need to have something that's going to give me a longer fatigue, longer resistance against fatigue. That's where flow form wheels really start to shine, because that compression that happens in that barrel part, it strengthens the aluminum. It's essentially compressing and forging that aluminum in the barrel area by, tightening up that grain structure. And when they do, you get something that has a lot of similarities to the forging process in that barrel, and that will resist fatigue longer. But, a lot of people don't understand that, like, this flex that you get over and over and over and over again, it can easily, fatigue a wheel to the point where it starts to have issues. One of the most common things I think that I see, we watched it happen with a lot of OE wheels. We watched, oh, that's cool. We watched, can I do it again? You only get one time, apparently.
Yeah.
So the one thing that I remember seeing a few years ago was, I believe it was BMW. They had an issue with a lot of their OE wheels that was having what they call radial fatigue cracks. They're basically these, like, if you look at the back barrel, you'll see an up and down, almost like hairline fracture kind of start, right? Mm-hmm. And that happens usually at the back of the wheel. It's the most unsupported part. What's happening with vehicles today is they're heavier than they have ever been before.
Oh, yeah.
They are bigger. They are traversing more weight when they move around. They're using stiffer suspension. They're using stiffer sidewall tires. And because of that, the wheel is now being used in a sense where it's not intended to, but it's becoming part of the shock absorbent system, right? So it's
there's the feedback back to the driver inside the car as well, right? Where the suspensions have gotten to the point where they're sophisticated as they are, to where you're not necessarily feeling the rumble strips as you go on the track. And it's providing a false sense of confidence on the track.
Well, I don't know what tracks you go to, but I have never not felt the rumble strip all the way into my throat. Like, I don't know what it is, but, like, I will say, I think one of the most effective measures that roadways have figured out to be, whether it be tracks or not, is putting rumble strips on it, because when you hit those things and you're not paying attention, it scares the crud out of you.
I just run bigger tires.
I understand. That makes sense, too, because then you feel like you're on a rumble strip the whole ride.
Well, yeah, I mean, like when you're running like big 45 series tires,
right?
You know, you, it's a different level of confidence.
Yes, I understand. It's kind of like when I get to my kid's soccer practice, right? And I decide that, you know, I could easily put the thing in reverse, but no. Today, my friends, I'm going over that little thing that divides the parking spaces and I'm driving out. You know what I mean? Yeah,
you,
so.
You need to come to my soccer practices with 35-inch tires.
Yeah, that would probably, I don't even feel it.
Curb, I don't think it's anything.
Yeah, mine's, I think mine's a 31, but I keep it clean.
Well, there you go.
Yeah, pretty much. Look, I think, you know, kind of circling back around to these people with the questions, I think it's a good topic. I think it's an interesting thought process. Yeah. I mean, you know me, I'm not one to throw, I don't throw shade at competitors because I honestly don't feel that we're always competitors. People think we're like these hardcore competitors, but like, I think... If you look at this whole thing, you know, even going back to that, let's just circle back around for a second.
Yeah.
That radio fatigue thing, I believe, will continue to be something. And if you ever see that, you should know that that's because metal has work hardened so many times and been exposed so many times to significant force and then returned to its original shape, which is what you want it to do because ultimately at the end of the day, keeping that bead seat where the tire rides on the wheel is so, so, so important because that is going to be the difference between holding air in a tire or having a catastrophic blowout.
I mean, okay? I can envision that the stress at that point is, I guess the question is, do people even realize what stress goes to that part of the wheel?
Yeah. There's a lot.
Yeah. More than I think we realize.
Yeah, a ton. And so, you know, one of the things that we're constantly doing is obviously looking for different ways to deflect that stress and to look at a way of, you know, kind of translating that stress throughout the wheel so that it evenly disperses. But in addition to that, you know, we're now seeing that, you know, it's you know, we go with higher load ratings than we might have, you know, 8-10 years ago, right? We're using higher load ratings. And I think you're seeing it across the board, you know, like our forged wheels, you know, some people like they're light. A lot of them are really light. But there's maybe other wheels out there that are forged that may be a little bit lighter. Maybe their load rating's a little lower. Like maybe we went a little higher on load ratings so that we can have a little bit more material, so have a little bit more buffer room. I think a great example of this, and I believe that they're getting it right. I also think it's from the feedback they've probably received is if you look at Apex wheels, right? I think what they're doing right is that Enduro line, and their Enduro line is basically wheels that are they're forged wheels still, but they're heavier, and they're basically saying, hey, look, you know, like when you go out and you use these wheels, there's a lot of stress that happens to them. So just because you get a forged wheel doesn't mean it's bulletproof, right?
And well, essentially you're tuning by load rating, or you're building your car based off load rating and what you're willing to endure on the track.
Yeah, all right. I understand what you're saying. At first, yeah. I was like, I wasn't really sure where you're going, but I understand what you're saying. I mean, so if you're going to be using your car and you're going to be track, you know, if you're going to be tracking it, like let's say, you know, 8-10 times a year, you're going to really be using this car in very sophisticated, you know, situations. You're going to be using, you know, all the track. You're going to be curb checking, hitting the rumble strips, whatever it may be. It behooves you not to to get out every single ounce of the wheel. Maybe look for something that has a little bit higher of a load rating, something that is able to, you know, kind of subject itself to increased resistance to fatigue, right? So they're doing that well. I know with our forged wheels, we're kind of in that same boat. We're not like worried about getting every single ounce out. We're worried about getting every single ounce out, but still keeping in the load ratings that are rated for the vehicles that we need. And then some, right?
It's almost like a cost of curb rating, meaning like, you know, for a cost of the wheel as far as what you're going to do to it on the track and what it's willing to take. So if you're going with a forged wheel with a higher load rating, that inevitably could end up costing a little bit more money, but because of its added durability, you can be a bit more forceful on the track and not have to replace your wheels as often.
Yeah, I think that's a good point. I mean, look, wheels are a wear item.
Yeah.
That's always been the case. Like we've made so many videos about it and so many different things. And I think, you know, people should, you know, get used to, you know, look, you change your oils at certain intervals, right? You check your brake pads at certain intervals. Wheels don't have a mileage interval, but you know, I think it's important that, you know, when you go to get gas or whatever, you look around your wheels. You know, you're walking right by them anyway. Take a peek, make sure you got no bends, cracks, anything like that. If you do, take it off, inspect it, make sure, you know, if it's cracked, replace it. You know, I think it's also a good thing that when you do your tire rotations, if you feel anything or something's not right, or if you hit something significant, that you look at the back of a wheel. Make sure that everything looks good. Not Koenig brand, not other competitors' brands, not aftermarket wheels, not OE wheels, all wheels, right?
Yeah.
Like all wheels. They should have a period of where you're inspecting them, because the truth of the matter is everybody that damages a wheel will say the same thing. I didn't hit anything. It just broke.
Just came in out of nowhere.
Yeah. The problem with that is that wheels are metal. They don't just break, right?
Yeah.
They don't spontaneously combust. The idea that you could be on a wheel for multiple years, run through different things, a wheel breaks and it's a defect against manufacturing, is an extremely hard anomaly to be able to understand, right? That doesn't happen.
Especially after years of driving too.
Correct.
Because if there was an anomaly, it's something that would appear relatively early on.
Could it hold on for a little bit? Maybe. You know what I mean? But like, yeah, for the most part, you know, what you're looking at is something that's didn't happen. You know, like when somebody first notices, you know, they're not going to remember the thing that they did 3 months ago and it really smacked up the wheel, and then they've hit little bumps along the way.
Right.
For the past 3 months over and over again, as that wheel continued to work hard in, and eventually it's got this little tiny fracture in it, right? Or this little tiny crack. So what ends up happening is you don't see it. You don't remember going over anything. It's left your mind. It's not in your peripheral, because everybody knows that feeling when they go through that one big pothole, swimming pool size pothole, and they go, and there's that momentary of like, please don't blow. Please don't go. Please don't go. And then you're driving and you're like, hey, everything's fine. I think that was great. You know what I mean? But for the people that have been on the other side of the coin, and I know I have, where, you know, you're driving through something and next thing you know, you hit that swimming pool and you're like, yeah, this is not going to be good. And next thing you know, you feel the vehicle, whoa, 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 and you're like, crap. You know what I mean? So,
I mean, good thing we work for a wheel company with the road behind the office. I mean, that just
replaced some more. It's rough out here.
I couldn't help but think of the question of, are forged wheels more prone to fail a certain way compared to other wheels?
That's a really good question. You know, and I don't know that. Does anybody even ask that question?
I don't know. I'm asking it.
Oh, okay. All right. That's fair. Yeah. So, I mean, what's interesting is I think it goes down to that hardness rating. I actually read an article somebody was talking about on a forged wheel, or maybe it was a YouTube. I was watching a YouTube video, and they actually said something that I actually disagree with, which is that a forged wheel is more prone to being able to bend before it would break, comparatively to, let's say, a cast wheel or flowform wheel. I disagree with that. I think that a forged wheel being harder and having a more dense material will be more fatigue resistance. But I think when you hit it to that point where it's had a little bit of that, you know, work hardening happening over the years, or, you know, over the time you used it and you hit it, I think it has more tendency to potentially have a crack occur than a flow form wheel or a cast wheel. And now let's separate that. Is that's not being saying that's a plus or a minus. What I'm saying is that just being a harder material, it's going to resist that bend for a lot longer. And so when you have that catastrophic thing after it's resisted for so long, I think it's got tendency to just almost have a break in it. Now, we always hope that those breaks are still going to be in those areas where the bead seed is retained and you don't have an air loss, right? That's the goal of a lot of wheel manufacturers. It's a goal of when we look at these tests and stuff like that. But when it comes down to those other wheels, because they're maybe a little bit softer in comparison to the forged wheel, when they will bend more when they take these impacts. Now, there's some pros and cons to that. If you asked me, I would rather have a wheel that bends, but doesn't lose air pressure, versus a wheel that wouldn't really move that far but would suffer a crack eventually and lose air at a rapid rate. Because one is going to be, I got to replace a wheel. And the other one is going to be like, I'm stranded.
Well, I mean, also probably look at it from a use case perspective too, right? I mean, for, you know, my earlier years of doing a lot of off-roading in Southern California, I was more prone to running steel wheels.
Okay.
Because if I did have a bend, I had a 2x4 and a hammer in my tool bag in the back, and just 2x4 on the rim and just kind of knock it back down, get it back into shape. And granted, that's probably not the best of things to do.
Well, and you know, and that's a thing. Because you know what's going to happen? Like those people out there in the comments when we're watching this thing, they're going to be like, nah, I do that all the time. It's perfectly fine. The problem with it is it's like I just got done talking about work hardening. It has to do with metal. Like as soon as you basically take that bended up, folded up taco and you smack it out straight so you can get everything mounted back up and the bend can come out, you just work hard in that baby like so much more. So you're just decreasing the life of the next hit.
Well, you change the metal memory, essentially. The memory of the metal as far as what it flexes back to. Because when it was created, that's like, okay, this is my position. This is what I'm supposed to hold. And when you change it, it's like, oh, I'm supposed to be over here now.
Yeah,
and now you're kind of going this back and forth, you know. It plays to that work hardened situation.
Yeah,
and forged, you know, it doesn't sound like it likes the, it's not a fan of the work hardened environment. Like if it does take it, you know, you may not initially see it, but it could be more of a hairline situation that causes a more abrupt failure, versus something that's kind of you can kind of see coming.
Maybe. I mean, look. A forged wheel will withstand more fatigue than others.
Yeah.
Period, point blank. If you're going to ask me if you have the budget and you have the thing to go forged wheels, if you're going racing, if you're going to be using it, if you're looking for something that's going to resist a lot more fatigue than anything else, a forged wheel will do that. So, like, just be clear with that piece. But I also think it's really important to understand that forged is not an end all. It's not a bulletproof measure of I'm going to buy this wheel, nothing will ever happen to it, right? It's a material. It's again, metal, not magic. It will fatigue at some level and some rate. It will take a certain amount of abuse, but then after that level of abuse, it's going to succumb to its round, to its idea that it wants to be round. I think that the forged wheels and choosing a load rating or making sure that you're not getting super obsessed with every ounce if you don't have to, I think is an important thing. I think it's a good question, but the answer to all of this is yes. If you happen to have or if you're thinking about getting a forged wheel, you still have to pay attention to load rating. You should always make that something that's just in your peripheral. And I think the second piece is, you know, like, how am I going to be using this wheel? If you're using it, you know, let's say on the street or on a daily, you know, you don't have to get super obsessed. You can go for maybe something a little bit lightweight. If you're going to be using it on a track and you want to go for the light rate, I think that's a really lightweight. I think it's totally fine as long as the load rating is there. Understanding that, you know, maybe if you don't need every sheer ounce out of a wheel and you go with something a little bit heavier, or that has a little bit more load rating. They got to go together. You have to have more load rating. It has to be a little heavier. It has to be both. It can't just be one or the other, right? It's got to be, but if you do that, you know, by going to a wheel with a heavier load rating, I think you provide yourself a little bit more of a buffer.
There's a dance between the two. What you're trying to accomplish, what are your goals in the car? What are you trying to accomplish, you know, as far as from a performance perspective, durability perspective? I mean, I often think that we almost get we have tunnel vision always towards performance versus longevity. Mm-hmm. And when you start looking at endurance, right, you know, even like longer endurance track days, or, you know, not everything is a sprint, I guess is a way of putting it, right? We lose sight of the fact that we put more abuse on these wheels than what we originally intended for them to take, right? And we bought them for their characteristics for a reason, but it was within like a very slim performance margin perspective. Within when you take, you know, sort of pull back the camera a little bit and take the wider view, it's like, maybe I should have planned for the endurance aspect of it, or like the longer ride out of it, just so I get more out of my investment.
Yeah, maybe. I think that, you know, knowing your functionality, knowing your use case, and picking something that, you know, logically fits into that, you know, budget included, then I think, you know, that's part of choosing a wheel. The good news is I think you have a lot of people, wheel and tire professionals, manufacturers that can really give you good advice on what's right for you. You know, telling them, just be open and forefront. Like, yeah, like when I drive, I aim for every pothole. Like I aim for every single one of them. So what's my best wheel option? You know, here, take this, you know, World War I revolutionary cast iron model. You know,
if you, curb smasher.
Exactly right. You know, I use my car on the weekends. And I live in an area that doesn't have a lot of crazy roads like we have here in New York. Or whatever it is. And I really, you know, I want a performance aspect. I want the, you know, give me the lightest wheel, whatever it may be. I'm going to be on the track and, my car doesn't make a crazy amount of power. I want the lightest wheel I can be. I'm going to be on a track and I'm going to be using this wheel to its absolute last ounce of life. And I want it to last as long as possible. These are all options and cases where you can really do some homework, do some research, and find the wheel that's right for you. I think that's the caveat. That's a takeaway. But yes, forged wheels still need to be concerned with load rating for your vehicle.
I mean, if anything, it's more of a reason to have multiple sets of wheels, right? Like you have your track set that could be your forged wheels, mm-hmm. and then for your, especially for like a winter driving perspective, you know, something that's designed to take a bit more abuse and just like, or your region, the local roads. Do you really want to subject, you know, performance parts to that? So they are just longevity when you're actually on the track.
Look, I don't think there's any problem with that. I think the other thing about that too is like, you know, especially like, cause you just brought up winter things, but like when it comes down to winter wheels, if I'm going to change wheels for the winter, I'm more concerned about the finish than I am about everything else. Right. For me, the thing that happens the most during the winter has nothing to do with the material wheels made out of, has more to do with the fact that you want to make sure that you're picking a finish. If you live in an area like we're in New York, they use salts, chemicals, things that we probably have never heard from us. And I'm pretty sure in the state of California would have a big, Prop 65 sticker on it. But with that said, when I drive, down those roads, I know all that crap is going onto my wheels. And I also know when it's, you know, it's 27 degrees outside, I'm not firing up the hose to go and wash my baby off. So I pick something that's full painted.
Yes.
Full painted wheels will last a hell of a lot longer in caustic situations. Yeah. But, you know, my goal at that point is always to know if we have a heavy snowstorm or something like that. I know the wheel is going to be subjected to a lot of chemicals. I will make sure that I do get the car washed and I get it cleaned, as soon as I can in a reasonable amount of time. Because getting that stuff off the wheel and not letting it sit there is a big part of maintaining the finish, right? So
I mean, letting that stuff sit on the wheel or even just the car for a period of time too. Mm-hmm. I mean, just slowly eats away at it.
And as is life, my friend.
Well, that is life. Slowly eating away at you.
Slowly eating away with you. All right. So with that said, I think we inadvertently got stuck on a podcast topic that we were not intending for, which was load rating and forged wheels. So let's end it there because we weren't really talking about this. We got to move on to a different different topic. Yeah. If you have any questions about forged wheels, flow form wheels, cast wheels, any wheels that might be under the sun, wheels for if you have questions about your load rating, if you have questions about anything else, if you want to throw comments in and some hate stuff, you can go do it down below. I don't care. I mean, whatever it is. That's it. Thanks for hanging out with us. Catch you on the next one.
Keyboard Cowboys Unite. All right. Well, that seemed to go pretty well.
What's that? Okay. All right. Good. I'm happy. As long as we got one. Do me a favor though. When you use what's that? I think it's a topic. No. You know what we did? We killed the Nismo one because we realized that it was kind of bullshit. No, it wasn't just fluffy. Like we proved that we were wrong when we were started researching it. So I was like, well, fuck it, we're not doing that because everybody's gonna call us out that really does know. And then I was looking through your brainstorm topics. I don't know whose it was, but like there was a topic in there that said something about for a Friday content. About load rating and forged wheels. And I was like, fuck it, let's just do that. And I just said, Troy, I'm like, what do you think? And he's like, yeah, fuck it. I'm like, all right, John, let's go do this. I could speak about this. Like,
yeah.
Kind of picturing it like if I was one of the listeners like Troy that just listens to it while they're driving or something, this would be an episode that I would listen to.
All right. So I'm good with that. And then I had two ideas for podcasts while I was on this podcast. First thing is, I think we could do something that's cool about cleaning wheels, but different to that is we sometimes get this thing. John, make sure you write this down because I'm going to forget.
Easy there, Ben Wilder.
Yeah. So basically what happens is like, you know, a lot of times people will call us and they'll be like, hey, my wheels are rusting. So that the Friday content could be your wheels didn't rust. This is what happened. Well, it's brake dust. What happens is the metallic pieces from the brake pads, they come out and they get on the wheels and then people don't clean them off. So they bake into the clear coat under the sun. And next thing you know, that metallic piece starts to rust and it bleeds out all over the wheel. And that's what people see.
Is it still just on top of the clear coat?
Well, technically, as long as it doesn't get baked in too hard. But that's what that G-Technic iron and fallout remover does. So we could really get a dirty, messed up brown wheel or something like that. And when we have that wheel, we can just basically get the clip whenever it is of us using the iron and fallout remover and washing it off and just watching it all go away and saying, like, look, this is not a... Look, the wheel didn't rust. You just got to get this iron imperfections out of it.
Aluminum doesn't rust.
I understand, but you know how many people call and say that it does rust?
No.
So I think put that down as a topic. Your wheel didn't rust. This is what happened.
I said no. This is what's happening.
Even if we don't even put no. And then there was one more topic that I was thinking about that I don't remember now, of course. Maybe it'll come to me. Anyhow, we got one done. So, all right.
Cool. Have fun.
John, I have to go do work now. Okay.
Bye-bye.
Bye. Thank you.